fancy.
Or fancy.
We're hanging out with
fancy people.
Soda magnets.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Now what? You're going to get a whole new circle? No.
No.
So you have
I'm just start hanging out with the Pepsis and the Cokes of the world. Or if things really go south, the Dr. Peppers.
That's
I just don't care anymore.
They don't care.
And Mr. Pibbs. The Tabs, if you will. The Shastas, even. Who goes to their parties?
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Katie is very emphatic that this must be talked about, so let's hear about it.
Okay, this is the thing that happened at a baseball game recently.
Okay, like a major league baseball game?
A major league baseball game, and this is titled, Kid Impresses Girls with Smooth Foul Ball Switcheroo at Texas Rangers Game.
Okay.
So what happened was...
I don't know what that is. Walk me through it.
Well, this is what happened.
Okay.
So a foul ball was hit, and... whatever. So, oops.
Like a foul tip, so it like flew back.
Yeah.
Okay.
It turns out, so this young boy gets it. Or did one of the baseball players hand it to him?
I don't know.
No.
What happened? Hang on.
This is what happened.
Okay.
At Saturday night's Rangers Blue Jays game at the ballpark in Arlington, Luis Rivera of the Rangers tossed a young Texas fan a foul ball. So this kid, this young kid, maybe 9 or 10, got the foul ball. He's wearing a mitt.
Okay.
So he catches the ball
in the
and then he turns around and hands the ball to a girl behind him. She's sitting there with two of her friends, and she's a little bit older than he is. So.
Okay. How old is he?
He looks like he might be like 9 or 10.
Okay.
And she
already
may be
at it, huh?
13, 14.
Okay.
But he did not give her the foul ball. He had another ball in his hand, and he switched out the foul ball and gave her his ball.
Because he wasn't trying to give up the foul ball, but he wanted to seem as though he was giving him something.
Yes.
And they caught it on tape?
Yeah, they caught it on tape and they slowed it down. And sure enough, he had, like, he just had a ball in his hand. He caught the foul ball and then he just, like, put it towards his mitt and then gave it to her.
Did the girl find out? I would be pissed.
Yes, because one of the girls said he switched, she saw and she said he switched the ball. You could see her mouthing that to her friend. At first, the girl who gave the ball to was like, oh, that's so cute.
But was her friend like, girl, don't you?
Yeah, right. But the thing is, then the writer, the guy who's writing this, Aaron G., it says, it's unclear where the decoy ball came from, but who cares? This kid just managed to dazzle an older woman and keep a genuine foul ball at the same time.
You kid, an older woman?
Yeah, you kid are our hero.
How?
Because this man who wrote this.
But the girl found out.
Well, not at that moment. Like a little later on, she found out. But he
now the whole relationship is based on a lie.
He is valuing this man, this grown man,
of course,
is valuing this kid being deceptive
and trying to impress the ladies.
Trying to impress,
but not really having to give up anything,
right?
Well, I mean, I would say,
I think this is just
I'm not down with it. But let me just say that it didn't work.
No, it
so
didn't work.
So your hero sucks.
Yeah.
Because the girl found out right away. Yeah. And now the girl's probably telling everybody.
I know, but still, I just have a problem with this guy. Even though it didn't work, he's still like, yeah, that was a great idea.
Well, that's because that guy is a douche.
That's
and
right.
That kid is a douche in training.
Right.
So that I guess if you're a douchebag, your hero is going to be
a little douchey
douchebag.
Kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so then this kid has gotten all this attention, and I don't like giving him attention for this, but I just, I
want
to say.
But he's getting negative attention. Because if I were a little girl in his class now, anything he'd be like, hey, you want some of this? It's probably not even the real thing.
Yeah. Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so now he's going to grow up, and he's gonna try to date women, maybe.
Maybe. Or maybe
he'll have the Wizinator instead of a penis.
But maybe he's going to relive this moment over and over in his life and been like, I never should have switched it out. Like, if he hadn't switched it out and given it to him. It's like in those movies where people go back in time.
Yeah.
And it's like, so maybe 30 years from now, he's like a bum on the street. He can't get any ladies. And it's all because...
He never switched it out.
He switched it, you know.
And I hope this girl learns, you know...
I think she learned her lesson.
Or now she's not going to trust men.
Keep your friend around.
Yeah. Keep your friends. Let your friends.
Let your friends.
The good ones that have your back.
Don't take a ball from a guy until you know it's real.
Right.
I think that's the moral of the story.
Yeah, so,
keep your eye on the ball.
You know, and guys complain when girls look at them like, yeah, right. Like when a guy walks up to him is like, oh, you know, at a bar, like, oh, you're so pretty. Get the fuck out of here. Get out of here.
It's all because of this.
Yeah.
It's all because of that kid. I have a tale from the campfire.
Oh, you do?
Yes,
do
I
you?
Do. This is quite an interesting one, I think. This is from, can you give me an introduction?
Tales from the Campfire is a segment where we discuss ghost stories, mythology, fake lore, folklore.
Tales of the paranormal?
Yeah. And we retell them to you around the digital campfire. Cool. So
gather around, everybody. I have here one, The Malevolent Ghost.
The Malevolent Ghost.
By Stephen Wagner. So they said families can sometimes live peacefully for years when they believe a ghost is in their house.
Okay.
So Archangel, that's this woman's
why they start getting
name.
Violent with each other. There's a ghost in here.
The mother calls herself Archangel. That's her code name.
Okay.
She's the mother in one family who was resigned to let the spirits in her house be as long as they pose no threat. But one of the spirits, however, seemed determined to cause trouble. This is her story. So the scenario is there's like a buttload of ghosts in this person's house. And they're like, that's cool. We can all live together. But one ghost was not having it. It was an old house in a little northern Idaho town. My husband-to-be purchased it, and my 4-year-old daughter and my 2-year-old son from another marriage.
Okay.
And I moved in with him. I was going through a divorce from the children's father in Denver at the time. So she's already moved on. The house was large.
But she's not free and clear.
No, she's not free and clear. And maybe that's a part of the problem. But the house was large and previously unseen by me. So she just moved into this house sight unseen.
She's like, fine.
Yeah. My fiance asked
it's
me.
It's empty. I'm in.
I'm in. Is my ex-husband here or ex-husband-to-be? No, it's cool. My fiance asked me to walk through and tell him what I thought of it. I had an eerie feeling about the house from the very first day.
She had an eerie feeling? It felt eerie in there.
She had an eerie feeling.
Okay.
The feeling was especially strong in the upstairs section of the house, also known as upstairs. Over the years, we found this home to be haunted by a multitude of spirits.
What?
As far as we can tell, there was a little boy, his father, and at least 5 other entities.
At least.
They were all considered by us to be friendly and playful. One ghost, however, was malevolent, hence the title of the story, The Malevolent Ghost.
That one ruins it for everybody.
Yeah. It says, the trouble began when my new husband and I went to bed one night, and we were talking for a while before I decided to turn over and go to sleep. I closed my eyes for a second and then opened them and let out an unexpected gasp because there was a man standing over me. The man took the form of a darkened shape and held up what appeared to be a black chiffon scarf. So jaunty.
Please, you need to accessorize.
Yes, with this fine piece of fabric. Ooh. He was about to put the scarf over my face. He was probably going to do a nice little foulard at the neck.
Yeah.
And then she couldn't breathe, and then the guy disappeared before he could accessorize
her
properly.
Like, it's not going to work, and he had to get out of there.
This is not your color, somehow.
Yeah.
Even though black works for everyone else. My husband asked me what happened, but something wouldn't let her tell the husband.
What?
Her common sense. Like, after seeing many entities in the form of dark shadows, it sounds like she's got shadow people.
Yeah.
Like a shadow people infestation.
Well,
So all these shadow people are in the house. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to fix this.
Okay.
She decides to put a Bible on top of a grand piano.
Well, why not?
So they opened the Bible's pages and they put it on top of the piano lid. And then we noticed for 3 weeks, the Bible was there. It was open. Nothing weird was going on. It kept the entities away.
It bored the hell out of them.
Yes. It was open to the page where it's like someone begat someone someone, and they were like,
or the begatting.
And then so everything was going well, and then for some reason they decided to take the Bible away.
Well,
I guess it did its job.
Yes,
right.
And everyone was falling asleep.
Yeah, they took the Bible away, and when she came down the next morning, in the place where the Bible was, someone had driven a nail into the piano.
Oh,
yeah. And it was something said the nail was forcibly driven by something. I'm going to say a hammer.
Maybe.
All the way down to the head. She was really upset because the piano was her favorite thing. And the nail was in the exact spot where the Bible had been.
What about the rest of the family? Maybe they did it. Just to be.
Yes.
Just to be kind of, you know.
Just to be cheeky.
Yeah.
So she goes on to tell that she took out the nail. And then over the years, she tried to, like, fill in the hole where the nail had been. Guess what?
what
wouldn't fill in what? To no avail.
Well, what was she putting in there to fill it in?
Wax, polishes, wood filler, like nothing would work, right?
Because it kept falling through into the piano itself. Yeah. And then she's wondering why the piano doesn't play properly. What?
So she said she over the ghost had its revenge. One day, as she was polishing the piano, she was holding the wax can in her left hand, polishing with the right, wax on, wax off, as one does.
Yeah.
Something grabbed the can out of her hand and threw it at the piano, making a scratch and a dent on the surface.
And then
another time, look at this, she had a statue of a snow leopard on top of the piano. That got ripped from her hand and smashed to the ground. Probably doing you a favor.
Yeah.
This is the same guy with the scarf, right?
Right. It's just she has terrible sense of aesthetics.
Yeah. And it keeps going on and on and on.
And so she's being taught a lesson, and that's what the story is.
Yeah. So that the malevolent ghost. I mean, it continues.
Sounds like Tim Gunn to me.
Yes.
Or he's like, you're using a wax-based polish on this piano, and it clearly does, and you're getting a buildup. So the only thing that could take it out is this nail.
It keeps going on and on. So after the thing is done attacking the piano, it then they put the Bible back on. I guess we get attacked next. The Bible.
Yeah, right.
The Bible disappears. It like starts showing up in random places around the house.
I would hate it if I kept seeing Bibles.
Yes.
Like, I did not want this in my room.
They found one time the Bible was like behind a shelf somewhere. I'm like, someone is just tired of it.
Yeah.
The kids are doing it.
Come on.
So that is the malevolent ghost. It has attacked first a piano and then a Bible.
Oh, my God.
I know. Not so creepy. Kind of weird.
Okay.
Right, what do you have?
I have some unpopular science.
Nice. So unpopular science and mechanics and technology and robots.
And robots.
As a segment that we do because Katie and I are freaked out by the coming robo-apocalypse, which I think is like 2016.
Yeah.
So we like to monitor what's going on in the world of science. So what do you have?
I have here... watch amazing high-tech dress turn see-through when female wearer gets aroused.
What?
Yes, this is a dress that a woman can
wear.
And then it gets see-through when she's aroused.
So this is so the man knows she's aroused because there's really no other way to tell.
Right. Yes, the flirtatious garment certainly takes the plane hard to get.
Is this from Maxwell Smart? This is what this seems like, this kind of thing.
But you know.
The need bomb?
It's out of a woman's armory, but would you wear one? This one is called Intimacy by Studio Roseguard.
That all sounds like BS to me. Intimacy?
This bizarre creation makes flirting in a club an altogether more risky experience.
Wait, everyone can see it, though, not just the person who's aroused you.
Yeah, well,
like everybody.
I saw the picture of the dress. It's basically clear plastic, first off.
I bet you it's clear all the time.
Yeah, it's like, and then it gets clearer. All right.
How? Okay.
So
you're going to tell me how.
The dress itself doesn't leave a great deal to the imagination. The real fun begins when the wearer's heart rate begins to climb. In the event of a pulse beginning to race, the dress, known as an Intimacy 2.0, gets see-through.
What was the first intimacy? Just nudity. This is like they've done it better. They've covered it up, and now they reveal it.
The dress's party piece is a result of being fitted with foils that detect the bodily changes that cause the plastic parts of the garment to fade to transparent.
So it's your heart starts to race. That happens to me when I have too much coffee or I'm scared.
Right. Or if you're dancing.
Yeah.
So then your dress becomes see-through. And then people think you're aroused. And you're like, no, I had coffee and I'm dancing.
Look at that woman. She's clearly aroused. That doesn't make any sense at all.
That's really funny.
Why would you want that?
The dress.
Yes. How scandalous. Look at her. She's been aroused for at least 10 minutes. Look at me. I'm nothing. My dress got darker.
This is a...
A hood came up over my face. The thing went to the floor.
I was so turned off.
I'm wearing a cloak now. I came in here with pretty much nothing on, and now I've got something from floor to ceiling.
Just like kind of... Like, shield up.
Yes.
She's not aroused. Cover that. Intimacy 2.0 is a fashion project exploring the relation between intimacy and technology.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess.
It's not going to go on sale just yet.
But how much would it suck if you're hanging out with a woman? You know, she's aroused, so the dress is clear. And then you just bring up something else, and it's like, boom.
Yeah.
You can't see shit.
Yeah. My 401k went down.
Yeah. And then it's like basically like someone dropped a burqa on her.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want the opposite of that. I want my regular clothing. And then when someone says something that I don't like, zoom.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
Then a puff of smoke and I slip out the back.
That's right. That's what I want.
Where's that exploration
that
between people being cut off and wanting to get the hell out of the room.
That should be a function on everybody's clothes for a bad date. They should have...
Barco like, just drops on you?
No. They should have a button you could press, and then a cloud of smoke appears.
And then you're gone?
Then you can run away.
How weird would that be? I imagine that everywhere we went, there would just be puffs of smoke all over the place. Like, just a bunch of guys are like, oh, man, it's the third one this week.
They're waving their hands. Yes. And then they look around the restaurant, and there's several other puffs of smoke around them.
What if the guys be like, you know what, just leave. You don't have to do the puff of smoke thing. Now everybody knows I'm a dick.
Yeah.
I like
basically.
It.
Basically.
That's fun. Okay, that was popular technology. Does it come in different styles?
No.
Or just like a basic shift?
No. It's basically a shift.
No, that's not that exciting.
Yeah, what do you have?
I have a piece of news here from my husband, Greg.
Greg.
It's not legal, hey, you know what, though.
Oh, he just found this.
He just found this. This is beer versus wine.
Yes.
Okay, so it says wine compared to beer. So this is basically, this is from bodybuilding.com. So right. My husband does some, he says here, this is pertaining to my alter ego as a samurai lawyer. So he does martial arts. Mm, he's really into fitness. So he's checking out bodybuilding.com. The funny thing about all these muscle websites is like the guys aren't exactly the most intellectual, as you can imagine. Like they kind of fit into the stereotype. So all of their discussions always devolve into like foolishness.
They all start off, yeah, man. Yeah. This is what I
was doing. So I was shooting up in my ad. Okay. Yeah. So this is, so I'm a drinker. I'm sure some of you on this forum are. Exclamation point. And I've decided to replace my beer drinking with wine, even though I look like a huge douche when I pull out a glass of wine in my buds.
And he doesn't even capitalize the I anytime he says I or I'm either.
But it's like he's a douche when he pulls out a glass of wine, but he's not a douche for saying my buds.
Yeah. Why is he a douche if he pulls out a...
I don't know. Where is he pulling it out from?
But that's the thing. That doesn't make you a douche.
It doesn't. It just makes you someone who likes wine.
Yeah.
You can put it in a regular glass.
A douche is somebody who does something that's awful, that hurts somebody else.
It's clearly someone who enjoys a Cabernet. Are you reading this?
Okay.
I've heard drinking wine is actually healthy. What do you guys think? And someone says, it's not exactly healthy, but it's better than beer. You can get all the health benefits that wine gives you from elsewhere. Yup. Yeah. You probably look like a douche, though. LOL. Some women are into that.
What?
Some women are into what? Douches? Or they're into guys who drink wine.
Oh, God.
I think we're past the point. Like, a man can drink any kind of drink that he wants.
It doesn't matter. I feel like that, too. That's not something. I think men, I have a hard time watching men do yoga still. That's my other thing.
I mean, you personally have a hard time watching them do it?
Like, I don't care for it, but they can do it.
Where is it happening?
No problem watching anybody drink anything.
Yeah, but how many times have you been to a club and you've seen a bunch of, like, brothers with fruity drinks? They don't seem like they feel like they're out of place. Whatever. So, the guy is absolutely, get drunk off of 6 beers, 900 calories. Get drunk off of half a bottle of wine. To which I say, I wish.
That's not a half a bottle of wine. It's not the equivalent of 6 beers.
But a half a bottle of wine, are you drunk? I'm just getting started. Like, half a bottle of wine? I wish. 250 calories, way less sugar. So then one dude says here, dilute a bad red wine 50-50 with water. Half the calories improves the flavor of a rough red wine.
Like, no, it doesn't improve it. It's still bad red wine.
Why bother? Like, why would you even go into this? So they go on to, like, talk about it. They start asking, like, well, you know, I drink a Merlot or a Chianti. And basically, they're asking, are there other kinds of wine?
Well, if you're drinking for the glow... Whatever that is.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Was it like I turn really red when I drink red wine?
You do? Oh, we don't drink red wine though, so
yeah,
I never.
That's why I can't do it.
So
it
do
turns
you feel?
Red. Is that the glow he's talking about?
Possibly.
You're going for a blood.
You're talking to a black person. I have no idea what this glow is. I don't.
Or is he talking about a buzz?
I don't know.
A buzz.
I have no idea. But it's just so bizarre. Wine compared to beer. I don't know. Then other people were like, "Oh, red wine tastes a lot better." A white wine tastes a lot better. I don't know.
I
still take issue with get drunk. If you can get drunk off a half a bottle of wine, let me know.
Yeah, right.
I'm going out with you.
Like,
half a bottle of wine? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Very interesting. So these are the kind of discussions that they're having going on. Oh, all right. So what do you have?
Wonderful.
Black tribbles. Nothing.
Take that out.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
What is it about?
It's
here, I'll pause it for a second.
Okay. I have here 7 tips on how to share friends after a divorce.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
Okay. Well, this is what happens. Okay. You know, divorce lawyers work hard to split assets. But there's one valuable part of a couple's life that's hard to split, and that's their shared friends.
Okay.
Friends often feel that they have to choose one over the other.
What? I've never felt that way. One person is clearly a dick. And I do not go with that person as a friend. Right.
And if they do maintain friendships with both parties, social events can be messy and awkward if both are invited.
Okay.
Well, what if people are like, you know what, we just grew apart.
Yeah.
All right. And so then what do? You're friends with both of them.
Yeah.
But you're always friends with one first.
But yeah, that's what I was going to say. So,
and you stick with the friend you knew first.
But you, yeah, I don't know anybody who I've met as a couple. Like, I usually meet one person at a time.
Yeah.
Or a developer. So if I meet a couple, like it's a male-female couple. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to be friends with the woman more,
right?
Because that would be kind of weird.
Yeah.
If I meet them as a couple. If it's a same-sex couple, I still would pick one person. It wouldn't be based on the gender of the person. It'd be whoever I get along with better.
Right. Because there's going to be one.
Yeah.
Okay. So one couple who handled this matter in a spectacular fashion is Charles Bronfman.
Mm-hmm.
Bronfman? Yeah, he was the former chairman of the Seagram's company and his wife Bonnie, and they decided to divorce in 2011.
So did they draw up paperwork about it? Because they're very fancy.
Well, after just 3 years of marriage, they decided to get a divorce. So okay. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
So what they did, to announce their split, they planned an elegant cocktail party and sent out engraved invitations to 100 of their friends. The invite stated, "As we change the parameters of our relationship, our mutual admiration and caring is constant."
Why can't they just be like everybody else and be like, he fucked the maid?
Yeah.
You know, like, why does that have to be so fancy?
They wrote that they looked forward to continuing their relationships with everyone and signed it fondly, Bonnie and Charles.
So it's like they're letting everyone down easy?
They're letting everybody know that they're okay with this and that everybody, we're all friends. All 100 of us are friends.
Don't even think about trying to get up out of here.
And nobody better take signs.
Yeah.
Because we will cut you. We are Seagrams.
I bet you half the people there were like, is there free drinks?
Right. Yeah.
Do I get my toaster back?
Yeah. I know, right?
You know they spent a lot of money on their wedding. People probably gave them very expensive things.
Yeah. You know what? Most couples don't divorce with the same degree of civility or the means to throw a glittery bash that assures friends that everyone is happy and on the same page.
I think that's actually kind of tacky to throw a party like that, but whatever.
Too often the issue is not discussed, and divorced people may find themselves suddenly losing friends or not be invited to parties or dinners.
How old are these people? Yeah. This sounds very juvenile. Like, I'm past the point in my life where I'm like, Becky didn't invite me to a party.
Yeah. Well, what happens if it's your whole social circle and suddenly you're not going anywhere? Just
I just don't have that.
Yeah, you feel weird.
I don't have that vibrant of a social life.
No, but just imagine you did.
Yeah. I can imagine how that might feel, I guess.
I don't know.
I don't care about that. Okay, good.
People can feel hurt, pushed out, or socially isolated. If the couple does end up maintaining mutual friends, new stresses looms, and such as where will the ex be at the next social event?
Mm-hmm.
It will be, you know, will it be awkward, especially if he or she has a date?
Also, too, I'm usually drunk at these things. So by the time the awkwardness starts, I'm like half in the bag.
Yeah, so like, I feel great. You're like dancing.
It's not awkward for me.
Dancing by yourself.
Oh, did you guys get divorced?
What? So here are 7 tips to help couples navigate the gnarly changes. Gnarly.
Really?
The gnarly challenges of splitting and sharing friends after divorce. But I guess if you're of a certain age, it's not like in your established, like the Seagrams are.
Are we at that age yet?
I don't know.
Okay.
You know, but imagine you are. You're in New York.
There's a lot of imagining going on. I have a social life. I'm of a certain age. I am actually in New York, but I still imagine it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're still here.
And we're fancy.
Or fancy.
We're hanging out with
fancy people.
Soda magnets.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Now what? You're going to get a whole new circle? No.
No.
So you have
to just start hanging out with the Pepsis and the Cokes of the world. Or if things really go south, the Dr. Peppers.
That's
they just don't care anymore.
They don't care.
And Mr. Pibbs. The Tabs, if you will. The Shastas, even. Who goes to their parties? Who even cares? Okay, go ahead.
We're in the scene. So, you know, you got to get along because there's no getting out.
Yeah.
All right.
No one gets out. Then you get the party invitation.
Yeah, 100 of you.
No one is leaving here alive.
Okay. First is talk about it. Figure out exactly what you want and talk about it with your ex if possible. All right.
I want all the friends.
Yeah.
And the car.
Yeah.
You can have the dog and the children. You'd have those. Yeah. They did nothing for my social life.
Except the losses. Some friendships will come to an end, and your ex's closest friends probably won't want to keep you as a friend.
Well, they weren't your friend anyway.
Right. That's right. Just as your closest friends won't stay friends with your ex, and that's normal. That's normal. Split or share. If you can, discuss with your ex whether you want to split your friends or share them.
Okay. At the party of 100 people, that's when we do that.
Yeah.
It's like the draft.
Right.
For the NBA. You're like, I'll take the Richardsons.
Right.
You can have the Smiths.
But they have no say in the matter.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. Bonnie, you're with me. Yeah. I know you always liked my husband, but guess what?
No, you're on my team.
And then there's some people who it's like in the middle. It's like, we never liked you guys anyway.
And they're like, you're staying because you're one of the 100.
Yes.
Agree on rules. Try to agree on basic parameters on how to move forward with shared friends. For instance, don't use friends as weapons. Don't speak ill of the other.
It's a blunt instrument.
Yeah, to try to alienate people. So it's like, play. It's a fair fight. Don't hit below the belt.
Wow. I think we're not fancy enough for this.
Mm.
I like mine to be a little bit more ghetto.
How will it work? Figure out how to be around the ex socially. How do you feel about being
drunk? Half in the bag. Or 100% in that bag.
Yeah, exactly.
Just wear the bag to the party.
Another, communicate with friends. Speak directly with mutual friends. Realize
I'm going to speak indirectly with them. You tell her. You tell Bonnie and tell the Smiths and the Richardsons.
Yes. Guess what?
Guess what?
They're on Team Bonnie.
Yes, Team Bonnie. Hashtag.
Yeah, not Team Charles.
Yeah.
Stinks.
Charles and Bonnie Seagram.
Realize they probably don't know how to stay friends with both of you, and we'll probably welcome some input. Tell me how
can we do this? How can we make this work?
Yeah.
Why is it like they're getting divorced, and now it's a problem for 100 people?
100 people. Wow. Right.
Talk about self-involvement.
Yeah. Stay flexible. Know that as time passes, the feelings you have now will change. It is possible.
Seasons change. People change.
Particularly if you have children together, that both will eventually be more comfortable sharing friends and socializing in each other's presence.
Now, are you going to get the children to, like, you get little John, I'll take Tara and Rebecca.
Right. Exactly.
And the Richardsons.
Because you get the boy and I'll get the two girls.
Because that's equal. Yep, that's fair. Good luck.
Yeah. Let's see. Here is a woman I know, Deanne, tired of stressing over her social fallout after her divorce, decided to tackle the issue head on with the following letter, which she sent to all the friends that she shared with her ex.
This is a really big problem. What is this from Forbes?
Dear.
Okay.
This is from the Huffington Post.
Oh, yeah. God. So this is a free article. Okay.
Dear whoever. Insert friend's name here. I want to thank you for your help and support you've shown me during
the... Dear Barack and Michelle.
I want to thank you for all the help and support you have showed me during the difficult and sad time of my marriage ending.
Mm-hmm.
I realize we are now entering a new period where our relationship is being reconfigured.
Oh my God, I've thrown this letter away about that. I'm like, do I owe you money? Are you giving me something? Are you like...
I want you to know I deeply value you and want to maintain our relationship.
Really? Oh my God.
I do recognize you may feel that you have to choose one of us over the other.
Pick me. Do you get two letters? You get one from Bonnie and then you get one also from Charles? And how does that work? Where's the etiquette? How do I respond to it? Where's that article?
Yeah, right.
Post? What do Katie and I do now?
Me too.
Yeah.
I want you to know that it's... you have to pick one over the other when arranging social events. I want you to know that is not necessary.
I want you to know that I will come from 7 to 9 and that Charles will come from 9:15 on.
Right.
Yes.
Then I'm going over to the Johnsons.
Yes.
And then he will follow...
Yes. Well, he's already been at the Johnsons.
Yes, right.
And we'll be taking alternate Bentleys in separate routes.
Right.
So we don't run into each other.
I want you to know that it is not necessary for you to feel the need to choose how you wish to maintain
friendships. This sounds like you need to make a choice soon. By the close of this letter, you'll have to check a box.
However, I know there are potentially awkward social situations that might arise. I want to address this so that we can all feel comfortable as we move forward together. I know in time, once the dust has settled, that we are past this time of healing. It may be easy for me and Brian to be around each other, even with new partners. Right now.
So this is, I'm bringing my fancy man around already.
Yeah.
He's bringing his whore.
Yeah. Right now.
Be ready.
right now, I'm not ready to be around Brian.
Is that what that says?
With or without a date.
If I see Brian at your place, it's going to be me and you.
Yeah.
I'm just letting you know right now. Signed.
Perhaps if I'm not ready to be around Brian, with or without a date, in a casual setting. Perhaps we can agree
that. What's
that?
Like, is that, so that's like a tea, an afternoon tea? Yeah, are we talking about a day at the races? Which is it?
We don't know.
Okay. Because I need specifics.
Perhaps we can agree that if you, maybe it's only events before 4 o'clock.
Okay.
All right. If you would invite me to something that he will be present.
I'm not coming.
You will let me know in advance so I could decide.
It says you will let me know? Oh my God. If I ever get a letter like this from somebody, I'm making sure that both this woman and Brian arrive at the same time.
Yeah.
And there's only like 3 other people there.
And then you're going to have escorts for each one of them.
Oh yeah.
And then they're going to be like, what?
Yep. We're going to play cards. It's just you and me and Brian. Brian's new woman.
You will let me know in advance so I can decide if I want to attend. I hope in time this won't be an issue.
Wow.
Lastly, please do not invite me to social gatherings, even if I'm the only single person there. I need to...
Huh?
Something.
Damn you, printer.
The printer blocks out what she needs and I can't read it.
You're going to have to make it up. Improv it.
I need to be up front with you.
Okay.
Because I had a U at the end. Wait, I can't be the only single person there. I need to have someone here with me. F you.
Really?
F you. Looking forward to lots more fun together. Love.
Are you serious?
I'm totally serious.
That seriously says that at the end.
It seriously says looking forward to lots more fun together.
So here's what I think happened. I think that this article is really just a foil for somebody to take this letter that they got and put it in the Huffington Post and embarrass the shit out of somebody. That makes these are not problems that I have. This is the kind of thing of like when you go to a dinner with a count and a countess.
Yeah.
How do you introduce yourself to the room? I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Because it's never gonna happen.
Right.
That's crazy.
This is crazy.
Why is your divorce my problem?
And
I'm having my cocktail party. And it's just gonna be people who are divorced. That's all it's gonna be.
That's
there.
That's it.
Then we're gonna throw keys in a bowl and just go find yourself a new partner.
That's right. That's
70s style. Get over it.
Oh my God. But here's the result. Now they want to know how people responded to this letter. Some of the friends responded well.
Raspberries. The bird.
Some people responded well to the directness. A few contacted her and assured her they would be sensitive to her request and felt relieved. It would
and
be
some were
on
like,
the table.
I never liked you, you be.
You know, someone said they loved the letter and actually felt closer to her.
From the letter?
Yeah. And a handful of instances, she was met with silence. Those friends had either decided to align with her ex-husband or were uncomfortable and sidestepped the issue altogether.
Yeah, that would make me very uncomfortable.
And the best result? She felt resolved. As she put it, I spoke my mind, and that feels good. The letter separated my true friends from the rest. Oh, boy.
Wow. It's interesting to me because do these people, are their lives so, are they so preoccupied with themselves or is their social circle so large that they're not sure who their friend, like I know who my friends
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
So do you.
Yeah.
Like there's not a mystery. Like if something happens, I don't have to go around and be like, Katie, here's a 5-page letter I've written.
Yeah, these are the rules.
Letting you know about how things are going
to
go.
Yeah, out. I know how to behave. I know what to do. I get it. I can
Would
get
you
the...
meet me with silence? Would you feel uncomfortable?
Uncomfortable.
Would you fall asleep halfway through the damn thing? It's just, I can't even, I don't know. That's just not a part
just
of my
will
life.
Send you a bill for the wedding gift.
Here's.
That's what I would do. That's how I would meet.
I want my fucking toaster back.
And what about, you know, have these, you know, people who, like, have family members that pay for the wedding, but still you give them a cash gift.
I'm just a family member. Who paid for this? Let me write a check to Aunt Zelda.
Yeah.
Because she seems to be putting the bill.
So now
this.
Guess what? These people like now have a house or they're splitting the house or whatever. And you paid for part of
you
that
put
house.
In on that. You should. We should start an angry mob of everyone who was at the wedding.
Yeah.
And just knock on their door and be like, we want everything back or the equivalent.
That's right.
You know.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
Okay, so listeners,
just go for it.
If you've enjoyed our intro and outro music, you have enjoyed the music of Cinema Cinema.
For free.
For free, yes. They are the band that so generously has allowed us to use their music, and they are on tour.
Yes, they sure are. They're crisscrossing the North American continent. They've got like 50 dates.
They do. Yeah, they're with Black Flag. It's called the Victimology North America Tour 2014. Go to cinemacinemaband.com and check out their dates and go see them live. They're fantastic.
Yeah, and while you're on their website, you can also listen to some of their music.
Yes.
All right, so what do we got here for advice?
Okay, so...
Black hair care expert, Marcy Currier.
It's true. So this segment is advice on advice on advice.
On weaves.
Marcy Currier, tarot reader, intuitive, is with us today. And
welcome back.
Yeah,
I love being here, you guys.
So what do you got?
Okay, here it is. My boyfriend of almost 4 years is 31. He has a great job and yet lives at home with his parents.
No! Card!
He says he's better off at helping his parents financially than paying for his own rent.
Is he really?
I agree with this, even though I think he's told to live at home.
Here's what I get. I get the Nine of Cups, the Ace of Wands, and the Eight of Cups. He is a really great guy with lots of creative potential, and he is basically doing what makes him happy with not a lot of effort put into achieving anything. But that actually is something that's very lovely about him.
Okay.
It's like, it's not as bad, like both of us did the like, but I don't think it's that bad. I do think he just has a fear around money. I'm getting the King of Pentacles reversed.
So many guys.
Then get this.
Here we go.
And he's a little lazy.
Yeah.
He is super generous with his family. He even lets his little brother use his credit card for major purchases when he wasn't able to afford otherwise. I am bothered that he's so generous with them, yet so stingy with me.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, I jokingly asked for $3, and he said to me,
are you tripping?
He said, do you think I'm your bank? I'm not your bank.
And he got a little snippy with it.
Then he said he proceeded to establish that he was not anyone's bank. I'm so disgusted by the statement. How can I tactfully tell him that it's wrong for him to say that to me? Also, if we're going to get married one day, aren't we going to share those things? And marriage isn't what mine is his and vice versa.
Mm-mm.
Whoa.
Not if you can't get him up over $3.
I know.
$3?
Not if you're with his mom while you're dating him.
Yeah. Right.
There's a major revolution that person has to go through. Like, what's she going to do? Marry him and then they're going to live together? Because that's a terrible idea.
Yeah,
He's going to move out from his family, like his mom, to her.
Yeah.
What is that kind of
weird?
To do?
He hasn't been on his own.
He hasn't, like...
But maybe she'll get that sweet, sweet moolah once he moves in.
Yeah, right. Maybe.
Maybe not.
We'll see.
And then says, the advice is, if you have a guy who responds to a lighthearted loan request by snapping, I'm not your bank, then you
don't know
problem.
My life? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that he did it like that, too. Like, he got really, like, was flair.
Yeah,
I could tell you this with certainty. The day after your wedding, none of these issues will magically resolve themselves. In fact, marriage will likely amplify these extreme differences.
You get $1.50 and be rebuffed.
Yeah. You should face this issue directly. You have a boyfriend who lives with his parents because he wants to.
Yeah.
He chooses to spend his money in specific ways and not in a way that benefits you.
Mm-hmm.
Although, okay, so I'm just going to back up for one second because I'm not going to judge him for doing that.
I am.
I'm going to say he's probably isn't good boyfriend material, but I think as a human being, you can do whatever you want.
Sure.
And if he is happy living at home with his parents, which he clearly is.
Yeah.
And if it affords him certain creative opportunities, which it seems to... I am all for it. I wouldn't.
$3.
This would not be my boyfriend.
Yes.
No.
$3.
So it's just that he's a good guy, not a good boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's
he's not ready for that relationship. Yeah. He feels like his blood is his blood and that he can take care of them. But who's this bee?
Yeah.
Coming in and asking
for $3. Yeah. Who does she think this is?
$3.
Morgan Stanley up in here? Citibank? $3. $3.
So what about this girl? What did we tell this girlfriend?
Well, what is the advice back? And then
we'll burn down his house.
She says basically the advice back is none of this is going to change on his own. Do not get married until you agree on where you're going to live, how you will divide and share your money.
He'll live with his mom.
Yeah.
After 4 years of being together, I'd say it's time. Yeah.
Okay.
It's time for this conversation through professional premarital counseling. So what do you want to also tell this girl?
So let's see where the girl is at.
Is there a card that shows running?
I feel like the girl, you know, the guy is like happy, he's doing great.
Yeah.
And then this is ridiculous that she's been dating him this long. Look at the Two of Wands, like the reverse, which is sort of like when you haven't been paying attention to things. And I think what she's been paying attention to is that she's dating a really great, nice, wonderful guy.
Mm-hmm.
And not paying attention to, she's dating a really great, nice, wonderful guy who lives with his mother.
Yeah.
Like, that, you have to keep the whole picture in mind. And so her expectations at this point are kind of, it's not unreasonable to ask anyone for $3, really. But the idea that he should be different than he is after 4 years of the same behavior is a little absurd.
I like that.
That's it.
Because she's kind of, in a way, allowed this situation to continue, and she's saying it's okay.
She might want to try not getting caught in this and being like, you know what? If you're going to be like that, forget it. I'm done. And making it kind of very abrupt, like,
forget you.
Exit. Yeah. And see what happens. One, I think he's just got it so good at his family's. I don't think she's bringing enough to the table. I don't want to blame her, but there's this level of...
Why should he change what he's doing?
There's no reason to. Yeah. There's nothing compelling.
He's living at home. He's had this girlfriend for 4 years.
Yeah, there's nothing compelling.
Now this $3 business.
He is happy.
Yeah.
But if she were to leave, or to temporarily leave, or to go be like, you know what, I'm not talking to you till you get... Like, if she were to say, if you want to be with me, you need to get out of your mom's house and go live by yourself for a year... It would really say a lot, you know, depending on his actions, would say a lot about what she should do next.
That would be my concern, is that he hasn't lived on his own ever.
That's right. You know? You go right from your parents' house to a relationship, you can't.
There's no way that's going to be good.
There's going to be problems.
I mean, I know that I went through some really good changes just moving away, like not living with them, but moving farther away.
I bolted wouldn't believe.
And I know. I'm a much better partner now.
Like an Olympic runner.
Than I would have been a couple of years ago. And I wasn't living with my mom. I just lived near her.
Yeah.
I love you, Mom. You're great. She might be listening because she's on the podcast. She's on the emails now.
Okay. Oh, really? Okay. Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Mom.
Hi, Mrs. C.
You did a beautiful job with your daughter.
Yeah. Thanks, Mrs. C.
Getting away from my family and having to, like, you know, there's a rite of passage in it. Having to forge your way on your own is an adult thing. So what do we think about, if she were to give him an ultimatum, she'd have to make it very clear, and it would definitely reveal something that she might be avoiding. So it would either, my sense is that he would be like, see you later. But I can't say that for sure.
He might not. After 4 years, he might have, you know, made an attachment to her. But he's never been asked. She waited 4 years to ask for $3.
Yeah. Please. And this is probably
a case of what you're doing.
You know, a lot of times dysfunctional relationships happen when a certain person's issues meets up with another person's issues. And, like, then the issues just sort of tussle it out for a long time.
Yeah.
And this may be... You know,
I can't deal with a cheap man. I know you feel that.
Should she continue with this person? No, I really think that she
is going to have to start all over.
Either she should enjoy the fact that she has to either go totally non-traditional. I love this person that, you know, he's going to be this way. I'm not going to ask him for these things. We're not going to join our finances. We're not going to have a traditional marriage. If she wants to go there, I think that she'd be fine because he seems great. How do we think he feels about her? I think he loves her. I wonder too if there's an element of her. He shows up here as very crafty when it comes to her. So I wonder if he has smartly chosen someone who would
fit into
his
deal.
I can say that this has happened to several friends of mine. The guy is cheap at the beginning, and then later on when things break down, they're like, he's so cheap. I'm like, but he never even bought you so much as a sandwich.
Yeah.
Like, and you guys eloped, and it wasn't because it was romantic.
Yeah.
Because he was cheap.
Yeah.
So.
But I feel like that they could continue on for quite a long time. Like, this is, it has this thing of, like, this may just be something that they disagree on for a really long time, but not enough to break it
and
off.
And it'll be like the ropers. Like, he's like, don't ask me for money. I'm going to ask you for money. I'm your wife.
And wear a captain.
Yeah. And just go on and on and on.
And an afro.
That's my sense.
Yeah. I like it.
But yeah, I would just say, in a general sense, awesome. Like, someone can be awesome and be a terrible boyfriend idea. Like, not great, not a good boyfriend.
Right.
But doesn't mean that they're not wonderful and amazing. And that's great.
I think a funny end to the story would be if they did get married and she just, like, took him for all his money. Because that's what I would do.
Right.
If I had to wait around that long.
Right? Just like, all right.
Yeah. Robin.
Sweet. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So, Marcy, if anyone wants to get in touch with you for a reading, because, you know.
They do.
Where
they do.
Can you be found?
Shoot me an email at marcy@metamarcy.com, or you can call or text me at 860-823-8605.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
right, so I hear something. Dale Carnegie wrote a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People, which I've been hearing about all my life.
Oh,
I always
think
those books are
that.
Sketchy. So here's some excerpts from Dale Carnegie.
Yes, inspiring. This is how I got my life the way it is today.
It's got twelve ways of winning people to your way of thinking. Now, I think all this stuff is just like how to fool people, right? It says how to win friends and influence people, but I think it's how to win, you know, people over to your side and make them do whatever you want. So 12 ways of winning people to your way of thinking. One, the only way to get the best of an argument is to avoid it. I disagree. You should win. I have to smash people into the ground. Two, show respect for the other man's opinion. Never tell a man he is wrong.
Yeah, you do.
That's what I'm saying.
All
we would
the
never
time.
Make it. Yeah. Maybe this is why we don't have as many friends.
That's right.
Or
we don't have an empire.
Yeah. Three, if you're wrong, admit it quickly and emphatically. No, I just slink off.
Just be like,
how could I be wrong?
What?
Who? I never said that. You misconstrued what I said.
Yeah.
Number four.
It never happened.
Begin in a friendly way. So start off nice.
Hey, friend.
Yeah.
Nice house.
That's awful.
Nice house, friend.
If someone says, hey, friend, you're going to get robbed.
Yeah.
Number five, get people saying, yes, yes. Immediately.
Yeah, I write your paycheck. Go get me a cup of coffee.
Or the other
thing,
when we go for timeshare presentations, they're like, would you like more vacation? Would you like a better life?
Yeah, right.
No.
Right. Would you like a bigger... Right, all these questions that
you're
saying.
Would you like more?
In life.
In life. Number six, let other people do a great deal of the talking.
I won't say yes. You can't get me to say yes.
When the last timeshare presentation we went to, they said, would you like more vacation? I said, no, I'm good. I'm good. He was just like, I don't know where to go now because I've been told to do this thing. Number seven, let other people feel that the idea is theirs.
No.
Inception.
No. Right. Haven't women been, like, that's like 50 style housewives. Like,
I didn't know I thought that. Thank you.
Yeah. Or what do they say? It's like the man is the head, but the woman is the neck, and the neck can turn the head in any direction.
I've never heard that before. That's not what I was thinking. The man is the head and the woman is the neck. I'm like just stuck down here now with wrinkles and the lines. Forget it. No. The neck. I have a short neck. What does that mean? Like a stubby little neck. The man is the head and the woman. So, and the neck can do what?
The neck can turn the head. See? Like
that's
I just
it?
Did. Yeah.
Okay. Like you just did.
Yeah.
Thanks for the demonstration. I don't like that metaphor. That doesn't give me much to work with.
Yeah. Well, the women can make the men do anything.
Or they can make them look somewhere else. That's about it. Number eight, try honestly to see things from the other man's point of view. Well, that's the wrong point of view, I would say.
Right. Yeah, say there's another point of view and it's wrong.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Be sympathetic with other people's ideas and desires.
Oh, you thought that?
Yeah, how nice.
I'm sorry that you thought that.
Yeah, I'm sorry you thought that. And then make them feel like they thought that.
Yeah.
Number 10, appeal to the nobler motives. Greed.
Yes.
I would say. And then the last two, I like, dramatize your ideas. I'm just like, ha-cha-cha.
through an improvised dance.
Yes. And then the last one is number 12, is throw down a challenge.
Step over this line.
Yes.
Knock this chip off my shoulder.
Yeah, throw down. And then make them think that that's their idea.
Yeah, with their neck.
So I'm just always suspicious how to win friends and influence. Because if you look at the cover of the book, he looks like he's about to sell you some snake oil.
Oh, yeah, right away. He's got a lot of history.
Super shady. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows. And yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
That's what we should. That should be the new thing now. If you get a divorce after, I don't know,
within 2 years,
2 years, 3 years, you have to write checks to people.
What about this? Say someone's getting married and I want to get them a nice gift, mm-hmm. and I want to get a toaster for them. Mm-hmm. Let's say I'm just going to get them a share of that toaster. Then the second year, they'll get another share of it. And then by the third year, they'll get the third share and they'll get a complete toaster. Otherwise, I don't want to waste my time.
Yeah.
Because there's no point in me shelling out the Gelda, you know, if I'm not going to get the money, if it's not going to work. Because I'm in this marriage now. I'm in $200 worth.
Right.
I'm invested.
You're invested.